The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Kiss Your Life Hello with Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. This program is all about relationships from love and family to health and business. It's a diverse world of alternative thinking as it applies to your daily life. Now it's time to kiss your life hello. So here are Drs. Nair and Piper.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning to our show, Kiss Your Life Hello. This is Dr. H, or as Dr. Vijay calls me, Dr. H, Howard Piper. Dr. Vijay is actually on holiday, and some of us are able to go on holiday. Some of us are keeping our nose to the grind and being able to bring out this powerful, powerful show with lots of information. And in regards to information, last week we had Joseph Giovi, who was the producer-director of an awesome movie that's coming out sometime early next year called Shift of the Ages. Go to his website, shiftoftheages.com, and you'll be able to see a little snippet. It's a very, very powerful movie. It's talking about what the Mayan prophecy really is talking about, what the Mayan prophecy is really not talking about. You know, there's all this fear of December 21st, 2012, and the Mayans don't even talk about that date. So it's really good, and it's a very powerful show. You can go to our archive. You can go to kissyourlifehello.com. And then you can go to our show and click any of the archives starting from July all the way to the end of this year. So I'm going through my awesome magazine called Wellbeing Journal. They're one of our advertisers. God bless them. If you haven't had a chance to look at this magazine, you can pick it up at probably any type of health food store around the country. I know the Whole Foods around the country carries it. And some of the different bookstores. It's called Wellbeing Journal. It comes out every other month, and it has some very, very powerful articles. I even had an article on my ADD book there many, many years ago, but I'm not biased. Anyways, here's an interesting article called Acid Reflux and Sleep Disorders. There is growing evidence linking reflux disease called GERD, G-E-R-D, also known as acid reflux, to sleep disturbance. As much as 40% of the population may suffer from GERD, a condition in which fluids from the stomach, often acidic in nature, regurgitated into esophagus, where they may cause inflammation and damage to the lining. So a recent study published in September 2009 shows that the nighttime GERD symptoms can keep people from falling asleep, almost 50% of the participants, and staying asleep, almost 60% of the participants were able to stay asleep. Nearly one-third of the population suffers occasional sleep disturbances, according to NIH, National Institute of Health. And the use of prescription sleep aids has grown rapidly. So it says, unfortunately, when GERD sufferers resort to sleep aids, it can amplify their problems. Oh, really interesting. So we're taking something for our GERD, but not able to sleep well. So if we take something that helps us to sleep well, our GERD, you know, has a problem. So maybe with a little acid reflux, maybe we need to take a look at the foods that we're eating, possibly. Maybe we ought to take a look at maybe taking, like, you know, digestive enzymes or probiotics. I mean, this is something that we need to take a look at, because sometimes when we have one condition, it offsets the other condition. On the other hand, we end up having these counterindications that create a huge, huge problem. So on to the other article. I like this article over here. You know, during the holidays, this is very, very powerful. Major concern has arisen recently regarding lead found in toys. But there are many other potential hazards that can be found in toys, plastic bibs, baby books, diaper covers, bedding, and clothing. Children can be exposed to chlorine, arsenic, by putting the items in their mouths or even by breathing the air near some of these items. HealthyChild.com. Again, HealthyChild.com. recommends choosing products made from natural materials, such as unfinished wooden toys, or those with natural finishes like beeswax or natural oils. You know, it's interesting, my book, The ADD and ADHD Diet Book, has been around for many years, and I'm constantly getting phone calls in regards to situations with autism and Down syndrome, and people will talk about mercury poisoning with the possibility of coming from vaccinations, the possibility of coming from other different factors, but all of a sudden, for the past, I would say, the year or so, I've been getting several, if not many, phone calls from parents talking about lead poisoning. And I always thought lead poisoning was something of the past. Usually people would call me many years ago with the children or the babies chewing on the paint from the wooden by the windows. And this is usually a lot of the older homes in the Northeast or Northwest that would have old lead paint from the 50s and 60s and early 70s. So the lead poisoning seemed to be a thing of the past until we started getting problems with these toys. And a lot of these toys, as we know, come from China, and they've had a lot of situations where it creates a huge, huge problem. So read the information and see what where the products are made, and try to find something as natural as possible. Again, a lot of the health food stores carry a lot of the natural products for babies and for small children, and they even have a little toy department in some of the stores. Okay, here comes another one, mercury in U.S. fish. Scientists have found mercury contamination in every fish sampled in nearly 300 streams across the United States, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. More than a quarter of those fish contain mercury at levels exceeding the EPA, who protects us so that we don't have this problem. But now they're finding that more than two-thirds of the fish exceeded the EPA level of concern for fish-eating mammals. That's us. Exposure to mercury can damage the brain, kidney, and lungs. So, you know, I mentioned before about the mercury possibility from the vaccinations creating with autism, but how about in the fish? So here we go. Solutions. Be proactive in environmental cleanup and protection and consume only fish from fresh, non-polluted waters. Alaskan salmon, for example, is still safe. Now, a little trivia is that a lot of the fisheries where they hatch the fish and then they also, you know, grow them in these big containers, that they are using either growth hormones or antibiotics to, you know, create a healthier fish. Unfortunately, we end up eating these. Now, here's something interesting, since we're talking about genetically modified. I like this information. This is really, really cool. Chickens refuse GM corn. Okay, I'll say this again. Chickens refuse GM corn. When the owner of a South African estate was informed that her chickens had stopped eating the corn in her feed, which had been purchased from a large supplier, she had tested it for genetically modified organisms. The results confirmed her suspicions. The corn had been engineered to produce protein toxic to certain insects and weeds and is tested positive for both BT1, an insecticide, and Roundup, an herbicide. This is not the first reported case in which animals have refused GM food. Furthermore, it is known that altered crop DNA can wind up in the meat, the milk, and the eggs of animals. And the article was coming out of August 2009 out of South Africa. It was called Smart Chickens Weren't Duped by Foul Play. And which is really interesting, too, and I want to get to my guest because it's going to be a very powerful show, is in Spain. Spain has refused importing any of the genetically modified corn, soy, wheat that is grown in the United States. Now, evidently, all the ships must come through Spain to go and to be purchased throughout the country, actually throughout the European countries, because all of Europe has also stated the same thing, that we don't want your food. In Canada, a number of years ago, I believe it was the Prime Minister's wife, and she stated that she refused to eat any meats that were, you know, the cattle that were genetically modified or had the RBGH, you know, the antibiotics, the growth hormones, you know, to be served in Canada, and they stopped it coming across the Canadian border. Now, Europe is also stopping this, and Spain is the main one stopping all of this. So, boys and girls, I think we have a little problem in our own backyard. So, if the other countries are not willing to take our products that are genetically modified or have growth hormones in it. You know, maybe we need to take a look and see what we're doing within our country. Which leads me up to a very, very powerful show today. John James was on our show, I believe, in July, and he is the author, co-author of an awesome book called The Grief Recovery Handbook. And John is the also the author of When Children Grieve. It's When Children Grieve, for adults to help children deal with death, divorce, pet loss, moving, and other losses. John, come on aboard. We're going to talk a couple minutes before we go to break, and welcome to our show.
And good morning.
And how are you today?
Well, I think it was George Burns who said, I wake up each morning, I check the obituaries, and if I'm not in there, it's going to be a great day. So I'm having a great day.
I have a very dear friend of mine back in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He says the same thing, too. When he reads a newspaper, his name's not in it. He's got it made. Give me the definition. I mean, I know it, you know it, and the people that listen to our show in July, hopefully they're listening again today, and others. What is the definition? Remind us, what is the definition of grieving?
Well, grief is the conflicting feelings that we experience following the end of or the change in any familiar pattern of behavior. So let's say the conflicting feelings caused by the end of, that would be like a death. So is it possible that we have positive feelings caused by a death? And the answer is, of course. If someone has been involved in a long-term illness, that kind of thing, the first emotional reaction a person might have to the notification that a death occurred is a feeling of relief. And that is a positive feeling. And at the same time, they will have a feeling of sadness because they're going to miss the person. They're not going to be able to see them again. They're not going to be able to hug them again. And the same definition is true for divorce. I'm happy that the fighting is over, and at the same time, I'm sad that the hopes and dreams and expectations that I had about this marriage cannot come to fruition because of the divorce. And that definition holds true for all of the 50 different losses that a person can experience in a lifetime.
John, let's hold that for a second, and let's go on to our commercial break. And when we come back, we'll continue talking with your book, When Children Grieve, and we'll be right back.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores. Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com. Or call 877-853-PURE.
This ain't your mama's brain and health show.
Tune in and get ready for entertainment and information about your mind and body that will really change your life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio is a sane departure from conventional thinking about diet, health, and the brain. Host Nora Gedgaudas will also combine humor and science to illuminate the mind and open your eyes to the principles of neurofeedback and diet, which can help you and your family live a better life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio airs live Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back to our show, Kiss Your Life Hello. This is Dr. H, Dr. Howard Piper. My beautiful co-host, Dr. Vijay. Dr. Vijay Nair is on holiday. So it's me and our awesome guest, John James, who wrote a book called When Children Grieve. John, again, before we go into the book, talk a little bit about, because there is some confusion on we have to do it a certain way. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross came out with her book and it became a very, very powerful book.
One of the problems that we deal with all the time for the last 30 years at the Grief Recovery Institute is the misinformation that is passed around in our society as if it were true. Now, Elizabeth, I was friends with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross for 25 years, so she wrote a book in 1978 that identified the five emotional stages that a dying person might experience if they received a terminal illness diagnosis. And in fact, in her book, the stages are identified as the stages of dying. And the problem is that a lot of well-meaning and well-intentioned people just kind of grab the stages of dying and relabel them the stages of grieving. And they have nothing whatsoever to do with the experience of grief. The other thing that's quite interesting is that what we are grieving about is the end of a relationship, an emotional relationship. And every relationship is unique. So no two people are going to grieve exactly the same way. It's a physiological and an emotional impossibility. Mm-hmm. And yet we keep passing this misinformation about stages, in the newspaper, in magazines, on television, episodic television. It's really sad because it confuses grievers.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. God bless you if that was a sneeze.
It was. I've got one of those little colds. It's wintertime here in California.
Catch one of our advertisers. We have great products. So let's get to the book, When Children Grieve. You know, when I read this book, there was some sadness in my heart because I went through a divorce many, many years ago, and we talk about in here about for adults to help children deal with death, divorce, pet loss, moving, and other losses. And I didn't have the tools to help them go through this, and they fit this format. Still, I'm sure after all these years, still in whatever process of the grieving loss, because there's still a lot of anger there. And it's amazing that the ability to communicate, to allow the child to share their feelings, and not to stuff them into their back pocket or stuff it with food or with drugs or alcohol or whatever is very, very important. If there was anything that I wish I had in the past, I wish I had your book when I was going through this. It was like 25, 27 years ago, but it was a little bit too soon. Let's talk about what these divorces, because, you know, it's what, 50, 55% of the families today are children coming from divorced families. How do the children deal with this, and how do we as an adult, as a parent, help a child deal with this?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where the real problem here is lack of knowledge, which is what you just brought up. Mm-hmm. I mean, had you known, when you were getting your divorce, had you known then what you know now, you would have done it differently.
Right.
And the same is true with all divorce. It's interesting because we are a kind of a worldwide organization now. The Grief Recovery Handbook and When Children Grieve and so forth, they've been translated into like 13 to 17 different languages, mm-hmm. and so forth. And divorce is a common problem around the world. And the problem here is that because we as a society of people are over-focused on intellect, we tend to communicate with our children using intellect when, in fact, they are experiencing an emotional
right.
problem. So, I'm going to miss, our family life. Oh, I'm going to miss Dad. Oh, you're going to have two dads. Well, miss is an emotional word, and you're going to have two is an intellectual response. So the child never gets heard, and so the next thing you know, the child begins to stuff the feelings. And I cannot think of anything worse for a human being than to swallow feelings. And again, I don't want to talk too much here and kind of take over the program here, but human beings are designed to be processing units. And if you want to prove that to yourself, all you have to do is go to the preschool and just watch children, because they process whatever feeling they are having in the moment they are having it.
Right.
They store nothing. I mean, if something happens and it's happy, they laugh. And in a very short time, the laughter's done, and they're back to being able to participate in the next experience, whatever it is. And then let's say the next one is sad, and so they cry. And in a very short time, usually way less than 3 minutes, the crying is done, and they return back to being 100% capable of participating in the next experience, whatever it might happen to be. And then, somewhere along the line, usually around age 5, we start trying to teach children that half of their feelings are somehow inappropriate, and that is the sad half. You know, if you're going to cry, go to your room, and, you better stop crying or your face is going to freeze that way, and all the things that we tell children. So then what happens then is the more those messages are reinforced, the more the child begins to believe that they're true. And then they begin to carry it out. We do quite a lot of work with people in recovery programs, mm-hmm. AA and mm-hmm. ACA and all the different A's. And what you will constantly find is people who had a real reason to suppress some feelings 30 years ago, but they have such a habit now, they're still repressing feelings, even though the threat from childhood is gone. And so this habituated behavior makes almost all their responses become reactions to old events rather than choice. And that's really sad.
I saw something one time many years ago, a quote on this school blackboard. It says, to be free and spontaneous is to let go of past experiences. And it sounds so easy, yet, you and I talked during the break of the unresolved issues that we have, and if we don't go through this grieving process of, let's say, for example, of a relationship as an adult, and we go into another relationship, we're going to bring into that unresolved issues, bring back that unresolved grief into the newer relationship, which is not fair for the other person, let alone, a healthy, excuse me. And it's so important that we get in touch with this. So, it's easier said than done, yet if we have the ability to break the cycle, to be able to teach the children so they can teach their children, that's the powerful message right now.
Yes, and the most important thing that an adult can do when communicating with a child about a loss is tell the truth about their own past experiences. The classic example, let's say we have mom and dad and one child, let's say, and Dad comes home and says, "Oh, we're moving to Cleveland."
Hey, it's my hometown.
There you go. Now, that's an intellectual communication. The child will always respond emotionally. "I'm going to miss our house." Mm-hmm. And the adult will respond, "Oh, we're getting a better house." And the child will say, "Oh, I'm going to miss my school." And the adult will say, "Oh, we're going to a better school." Okay? "Oh, I'm going to miss my friends." "Oh, you'll make new friends." And the adult is communicating to the child as if he or she didn't have the same feelings of sadness when they moved. And so a far better approach is when the child says, "Oh, I'm going to miss my friends," is for the adult to tell the truth and say, "You know, when I was 9 years old, we moved, and I really miss my friends, too." And then we can open a dialogue. Then we can have a conversation where the emotion gets discussed rather than swallowed. It's really sad to watch people who've moved more than twice by the age of 15. They kind of give up on making new friends because mm-hmm. the idea planted in their mind is, "Oh, I'm just going to lose them anyway." And so at some level, they become observers in life rather than full participants. The same thing is true. We always come at these problems from the wrong direction. Now, we're talking about divorce. Now, that's the end. The problem started with the first boyfriend or girlfriend.
Right.
And it, you know, I mean, I know everybody remembers their first little boyfriend or girlfriend. I mean, it was, the adults call it puppy love, but the truth is it was real love. And then it breaks up for whatever reason. And the child comes home and they're devastated. They're sad. They're crying. "Oh, I cannot understand this," and so forth. And the adult will say something like, "Oh, don't feel bad. There are plenty of fish in the sea." And so the child stuffs the sadness. Now, when they go out to get into the next little emotional relationship, they will be holding back just a little bit. And the problem with that is that if somebody holds back a little bit emotionally, they are virtually dooming the second relationship to fail from the beginning. And it does. And so now we have two unresolved little relationships, and we don't have any better tools for dealing with number two than we did with number one, and so we become even more guarded and so forth. And then we wake up, 25 years later, acting surprised that we have a divorce rate approaching 50%. Well, the writing was already on the wall, okay? And again, as I mentioned earlier, this is a worldwide problem. The divorce rate in the United States, I mean, it's one of the few things that we don't lead the world in. Okay? There are some countries that have a divorce rate of over 60%. And then other countries have just kind of given up on the whole concept of marriage, and people just live together and so forth. And this is all the result of many, many years of unresolved emotional experiences. It's really sad.
John, I want you to hold that thought. We need to go to a break, and then when we come back, please tell us how we can get your book, your website, and the phone number. So we'll be right back with Kiss Your Life. Hello.
Steps to a Healthier You. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com or call 877-853-PURE.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Well, welcome back to our show, Kiss Your Life Hello. We're talking with John James' book, When Children Grieve. I have to read this quote before we go any further, John, because I love it. Is in the back of your book. There isn't anyone in life who hasn't experienced some kind of loss. It's comforting to know that we are not alone in our sadness and that practical, easy-to-read, thoughtful help is available by way of Russell Friedman, John James, and Leslie Landon Matthews, gentle insights on the pages of When Children Grieve. Thank you. Neighbors, for your obvious care. Fred Rogers, producer, host of Mr. Rogers. To have a quote from Mr. Rogers in the back of your book, you've made it. I don't have any close. I mean, I have some great quotes from my books in the back of my books, and not from Mr. Rogers. So I am totally impressed.
He was a really wonderful guy. He would receive over 700 requests for endorsements every year.
Wow!
And throughout his whole history, he only gave two quotes, and one of them is ours, and we're very happy about it. Yeah, he was a really great guy.
Well, my kids watched them on television for many years, and I probably sneaked over their shoulder and watched it too. So how can we get this book, When Children Grieve? And you also have a website that you would like to share with us.
Well, the books are, you know, the When Children Grieve and the Grief Recovery Handbook and all those are in all the bookstores, and they're on Amazon.com and all that.
Okay.
But they can go to the website, which is www.grief.net. And they can order books there, and we ship them out and so forth. But more importantly, on the website, grief.net, up at the very top, there's a little button that says Helpful Articles. And we keep about 60 articles up there all the time, and we rotate them and refresh them about every 60 days. And there's an article on it, almost every kind of conceivable loss you can think of. And we're a, you know, nonprofit company and all that. So all this information is free. I mean, people can download it, they can print it, they can do whatever they want. But it is filled with valuable information. Like right now, we're in the middle of the holiday period. And because it's just a couple of days before Christmas, it's actually pretty slow here in my office. You know, less emails, less phone calls, less hits on the website, and so forth. Now, starting about January 2nd, there's going to be a huge spike because people will finally realize that the holidays were not what they expected, that there was sadness, and that they have missed someone, and it's going to be real sad. And so these are cycles. And so we have articles up there about that. We have articles up there about moving, about divorce, about death, about graduation, huge grieving experience for children, and so on. The big loss that's going around in our country right now for about the last 2 years is loss of trust. And that's loss of trust in financial institutions and loss of trust in government agencies and so on, because people's hopes, dreams, and expectations have been devastated by the financial reversals of the last, 18 months or 24 months or however long it has been. And that's, one of those things that, people don't exercise any control over that at all, and yet the consequence emotionally falls on their shoulders.
So when we were talking before the show started, I talked about how I have found myself for the past few years grieving the loss of these illusions that I'll stay married the rest of my life, the illusion that my children will come visit me all the time, the illusion that I'll be living in, wherever for the rest of my life. And that's probably a combination also of the grief of the loss of trust. So I have these illusions that I am going to be, and then when it doesn't happen, I literally go through a grieving process.
Of course. Of course. And again, here's the key. Grief is normal. You should experience grief. And the problem is we're all taught that somehow grief is abnormal, or we should hide it or something like that. I mean, you take a couple that is, got married, had a couple of kids. They got the kids through college. They've been preparing to retire. They got their little 401k and this and that and the other thing. And then along comes a bunch of circumstances that they have no control over whatsoever. And all of a sudden, there goes their retirement. Now, are they entitled to have some conflicting feelings about that reality? And the answer is absolutely yes. And should they identify the things that, and communicate them and so forth without being told that they shouldn't feel bad? And the answer again is yes. If I can here before the clock runs out on us, everybody can talk about what not to do and what not to say and so forth. But what I want to do is give your listeners a sentence or two that will tell them what to say to people who've experienced a loss. And it doesn't matter whether they're children or whether they're adults and so on. The number one complaint by grieving people in the world is, I didn't feel heard. And that is primarily because people don't ask the right questions or they don't make the right comments. So when you run across somebody who has experienced a loss, or when you run across somebody who shares that it is the anniversary of a loss, like in the next 2 days, I guarantee you're going to hear, oh, this is the sixth year since Dad died.
Right.
You see, now, I can't imagine how that felt. What happened? I can't imagine how you're feeling. Tell me what happened. Now, that is a simple sentence, okay? And people don't know to say it. And the reason we want people to say it is that the number one thing that grieving people want to do is talk about the circumstances that led up to the loss. And so we introduce that topic. Well, gosh, I can't imagine how that must have felt when you got the news. Gosh, what happened? And then for the next 5 minutes, they're going to tell you what happened. Mm-hmm. And they're going to feel better for having had the opportunity to do it. And you are going to feel better for having given them the opportunity to do it. And that's all we're talking about here.
John, do you think possibly that people don't ask that question because they don't want to feel their own feelings because of their own loss?
Of course. Of course. When you store up a lifetime's worth of unresolved emotional experiences, you want to avoid them at all costs. because they're still painful. And so it's like, well, if I of the 141 things that are most commonly said to grievers, okay, 85% of them are not helpful at any level. They start with, oh, don't feel bad, she's in a better place,
right,
or,
right.
You know, don't feel bad, at least his suffering is over now, which may well be true for the person who died, but it is certainly not true for the person you're talking to. You know, it's, I had a conversation, a guy came knocking on our door yesterday, came in, sat down, and his father is failing mentally. I mean, his father, who was the most important adult male role model in his life, is starting to lose memory. And this is causing all kinds of problems in not only dad's life, but in the son's life, and so on. Now, those feelings are real. And we can talk about this intellectually till the cows come home. You know, we can read great scientific studies on dementia and Alzheimer's disease and so on. And not one word of it is going to address the main problem, which is this son's heart is breaking. And it is frustrating because there's nothing he can do. And there's nobody willing to sit down and hear the feelings, which again takes 5 minutes. One of the great misconceptions in our world is the idea that if somebody shares a feeling, we have to do something about it. And the truth is, all we have to do is hear it. And then people feel supported, and then they can get on with their life, and it's a little bit lighter, it feels like somebody understands them, and so on. And these are wonderful things, and it takes nothing to do this other than knowledge.
I think for most of us, there would probably be a common core is that we just want to be listened to. And
yeah, we want to be
for
heard.
For most of us that have grown up in some sort of dysfunctional family, there wasn't the ability to have somebody just to listen to us, and we crave that.
Yes, totally. Well, human beings do. I mean, we are social animals. You know, and one of the great gifts we have is the ability to experience of, you know, the full and complete range of emotion and the ability to communicate it. And what should be happening is people communicating back. Okay, gee, that must be awful. That must feel terrible.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do next? If we were having a conversation about the last vacation you went on, you know, there would be no problem. Everybody would, oh, where'd you go? Who did you meet? What did you do? What did you see? Blah, blah, blah. And yet, if it is dad died, we want to act like nothing happened. And something enormous happened, and people need they need a safe place just to talk about how they're feeling. Now, to complete that relationship, there's a lot, you know, there's some actions that you have to take and so on. But just as a start point, you know, I can't imagine how that must have felt. I can't imagine how you're feeling. Never, ever, ever say to a griever, I know how you feel. That is the one that drives them up the wall, okay? And, of course, it's physically impossible for one person to know how another person feels.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we're going to be going to a break in a couple of minutes. Go ahead and give the website again, and then we'll come back from the break, and we have a couple more questions asked. But go ahead and give the website again, please.
It's www.grief.net. And you get there. Well, there's a ton of really valuable information there. We also train certified grief recovery specialists who then go back to their local communities and moderate grief recovery outreach programs and so on. And all people have to do is email us or call us, and then we'll tell them if you know where the nearest one is to where they live and so on and so on. Because grief is not a life sentence. And where grieving people are concerned, lack of courage is not the problem. It is always lack of knowledge. What should I be doing? And that's what
that's
the grief
powerful statement
book tells you.
excuse me, that's a powerful statement, what you said. It's not a lifetime thing.
No, absolutely not.
No. Let's go to a break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking with John James, When Children Grieve.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores.
Wake up with a unique daily show. Listen for Mitchell John in the morning. Mitchell will bring you news, sports, and stock news from yesterday. You'll hear interviews from high-profile figures from the world of sports, entertainment, politics, and authors. Mitchell will talk to people throughout America. This is a show that throws right down the center. It's fun, information, and yes, even a little bit of music. Catch Mitchell John in the morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on Voice America, and Thursdays on the Voice America Business Network.
Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com or call 877-853-PURE.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back to our show, Kiss Your Life Hello. Again, this is Dr. H. Dr. VJ, one more time, is on holiday. She will be back next week. I miss her beautiful voice. So we're talking with John James, the book called When Children Grieve. And, John, I just want to share a little information because that's what I try to do. I try to share my experiences of either my present or my past, not too much of the future, I don't think. And I know for me and for my middle brother that we were protected by our parents, particularly my dad. The death of his mother that was hidden from us, the death of other people, and some sicknesses. So what happened as a child, I didn't know how to interact when it came to grieving, let alone going to a funeral, or if somebody was sick, you know, what to say to them. We were not told. Excuse me. So consequently, I come into this adult world, and I go to a funeral. Excuse me. Especially, you know, come back after Vietnam. When I came back from Vietnam, I went to a lot of funerals, and I didn't know what to say. And so I stand there saying, "What do I say? What I don't say?" And I've learned through the years I can say, "I'm sorry," and allow the other person to talk. But for a long time, I just stood there or sat there and then didn't say anything because I was afraid to say the wrong thing.
Absolutely. And again, it's one of those, there are no throwaway lines. I mean, you see on all the episodic TV shows, you see the cop, you know, say to the family, "I'm sorry for your loss," and so forth. They're not. Okay? In order to learn how to say the right thing at the right time, you have to understand that you need to be talking about a relationship. So the first thing is I have to identify where the relationship exists and then tell the truth. So let's say I know you, but I've never met your mother, let's say. And so your mother dies. I would never say, I'm so sorry about your mother's death, because I had no relationship with mother. But I do have a relationship with you. So in that case, I would say, I'm so sorry for your loss. Do you get the little difference there?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's and again, it's because we don't educate people with these simple things. People feel like they're, you know, they don't want to hurt people by saying the wrong thing, so they say
right,
nothing,
right,
which hurts them the same. So, but there's so much information on the website, so people can go there and just, you know, download the stuff and read it, and if they have any questions, just email us or call us or, you know, whatever. And hopefully we can make a little difference in the way people deal with grief and how they educate their children to deal with grief and so on, and that would be wonderful.
Now, it's interesting. You touched upon divorces, you touched upon deaths, you touched upon what people are presently dealing with. A lot of grieving is the loss of trust. There's so many different aspects of the grieving process, and there's so many different aspects of what goes on to our life today. If you were going to summarize on the ability to, as us adults, help our children, and again, I believe in breaking the cycle, so we know pretty much through trial and error that we can ask, you know, ask the questions, I guess, for the person to talk, especially with the children, as opposed to what we were taught in the past. What would be a good summarization on helping breaking the cycle and allowing, particularly the children, but not only the children, I mean, as I'm reading this book, I'm reading about myself, too, so I'm putting myself as a child, as an adult.
Well, the most important thing is for the adults to go first. I mean, children learn from listening and watching the adults that they trust. And so, you know, the parent can come home and say, gee, Grandpa died, how do you feel, to a child who doesn't know how he or she feels?
Mm-hmm.
But Dad or Mom can come home and say, gee, Grandpa died, and I'm really going to miss him, and I feel sad. Mm-hmm. And then the child learns, oh, sad is okay. Mm-hmm. And so then from that point forward, any time we have a sadness occur, the child is not afraid to talk about it. You know, you've heard that old saying, you know, monkey see, monkey do. Well, it's
right.
True, okay? And when we go and work with children, one of the things we hear the most is, and they don't have these words, but they're always asking, why are Mom and Dad not telling me the truth? Because they can see, you know, gee, Dad, do you miss Grandpa? No, I'm fine. While Dad has tears welling up in his eyes. Well, this is very confusing for children, okay? The other thing that, like protecting people from death, mainly that happens with pet loss. Oh, the dog went to live with the farmer, you know, and we don't want to deal with the death of pets, which is really interesting and sad.
John, we're going to have to get off the air pretty soon. I hear the engineer, and I can see the engineer, and I can feel the engineer breathing down. We got a couple of
breathing,
minutes.
Yeah.
One more time,
before time runs out, I want to thank you for having this topic on your show.
Oh, God, you believe me, you're entirely welcome. I love the world you guys come from. You know, give my best to Dr. Leslie and Russell.
Yeah.
And this is very, very powerful information. When children grieve, we can get this at Amazon, or we can go to the basic bookstores. And one more time, the website that they can go to?
www.grief.net.
Okay, great. And thank you very much for being on the show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, my friend. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Wow, powerful, powerful show. One more time, another powerful show. Kiss Your Life Hello. Next week, Wise Mind, Open Mind, Finding Purpose and Meaning in Times of Crisis, Loss, and Change by Ronald Alexander. Finding your strength, passion, and purpose when things fall apart. Wow, what a good combination. And this could be, December 30th, so that's going to be almost a New Year's Eve. Maybe we can do this for a New Year's resolution, finding our strength, passion, and purpose when things are falling apart. Well, if Dr. Vijay was here, she would say goodbye to you all. And since I'm here by myself, I get to say to everybody, if no one's told you that they love you today, let me be the first. I love you all, and have a great holiday, and tune in next week. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for joining Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper for Kiss Your Life Hello. We'll return next Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great week.